A few weeks ago, Pastor Dave advised me that he and Tammy would be on vacation from April 25th to May 3rd. And I was pleased to hear that. It was very nice. I think I'd take some time off. After all, we did tell them that we wanted to take more time off. And a vacation for a pastor must include Sunday because I thought, that's over a Sunday. But not to worry, right? Not to worry. No problem. Well, in our pastor elder retreat that I attended a short time ago, we had a 1.5 hour lecture on sermon preparation and preaching. And it looks like I will now be putting that into practice a bit sooner than later, but that's what we're here for. But before I really get into the meat of the message, I'd just like to share with you an observation that I made at this retreat and others that I have attended. I marvel at the abilities and the talents of our LB pastors, young and older. These men are certainly grounded in the faith and can profoundly preach the message. They are really down-to-earth, grassroots folks. I think of Rush Limbaugh saying that his talent is on loan from God. Yes, to God we must give all the glory. Okay, back on message. One thing I remembered from Pastor Fred Sprague was picking a topic. He said this might be one of your hardest chores. But he said if you get stuck, focus on a life-changing experience or something that you struggle with. Most likely, but with somebody in the congregation struggling with the same thing or know someone who does. Well, I tend to be somewhat of a worrywart. Worry is something I struggle with. And you know, it's funny, but when I think of worry, I think of Alfred E. Newman, the freckled, toothy, big-eared character from Mad Magazine, a publication I read from time to time in the 50s and 60s. And therefore, I came up with the title of my message being one of Alfred's sayings. What? Me worry? However, thinking and preaching about it, perhaps I can alleviate or put this to rest. Hopefully, when this message is over, me, you, whoever, we'll have a better handle on how to deal with worry. We can honestly say, what, me worry? I'm a curious sort about certain things. And one thing is, how did a word get its name? Just like the word horseradish. This came up during a Wednesday night prayer service session during a fellowship and tasting the latest Permar culinary creation. And I have the explanation, if you're interested. Worry itself is an interesting name, an interesting word, one that has traveled far from its origins. When worry first appeared in Old English, it was W-Y-G-A-N, wagon. It meant not to fret, but to strangle, putting a whole new light on put your worries behind you. That grisly meaning of worry softened a bit over the subsequent centuries. First a bite and shake, as dogs worry about their rubber toys today. And then it went to harass or vex, until finally arriving at its modern meaning to make or to be persistently anxious. And this was in the year 1822. Wart was added, it has been thought, as this was something that grows on you. You think about it, and it kind of does make sense. Thus, the stage was set for decoding worry wart. As a person who annoys others by worrying loudly and constantly over everything. Now, I would go so far to say I am not that bad. However, I do tend to worry as the word river comes to play. But I am getting better about that. Worrywart did become a household standard when it was used as the name of a recurrent character in Out Our Way, a popular newspaper comic strip drawn by James R. Williams from the year 1922 to 1957. Oddly enough, Williams' Worrywart was a young lad who caused worry to others rather than being plagued by worry himself. And I have a copy of the comic strip if you are interested in seeing that. It's one of many. Worry is an emotion, just like envy or stress, boredom, sadness, loneliness, paranoia, fear, and anxiety. It can be good, and it can be bad. At times, worry can be beneficial, such as when it encourages us to take action to change a situation. If a student was worried about a certain test or exam, or a layperson preparing a sermon, it means we have to study harder and talk with God. Worry becomes a problem, however, when it leads to continual anxiety and fear, or when it consists of continually repeating the same thinking patterns over and over. It's also bad for your health. You don't sleep well, you don't eat well, you can get upset stomach, headaches, muscle tension. We will focus on the bad worry in order to stop something that could consume you. Where do we go to get the help we need? God's Word. There are a number of references in Scripture to help us in this regard. I have chosen Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Let's look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Paul exhorts us to celebrate the Lord in all circumstances, in our joy and in our suffering. To exalt in the Lord. He even repeats it. Again, I say rejoice. What exaltation is that? What joy to know that we have a Lord to whom we can turn. We are to be glad that the Lord is our God, and we are the sheep of his pasture. Be glad in good times and in bad. We thank the Lord for the good times. But what about the bad times? Bad times can make us stronger in the Lord. He is our rock. We must trust in the Lord. Life is not always good. Do we worry, or do we ask God to help us through the tough times? Trusting him to pull us through, knowing that this too will pass. In verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Let your gentleness, or we could say calmness, mercifulness, peacefulness, meekness, or tenderness, let these things show forth that we will be forbearing and fair, that we are willing to meet a person halfway. All things might not be what they appear to be. as expressed by the poet Alexander Pope, to err is human, but to give is divine. As sinful beings, we will make mistakes, but by repenting and asking for forgiveness, we can be pardoned. Pardoned not only by God, but by our fellow man. The calming effect of softness can have an impact on how we are perceived by God when we talk with Him. Don't be angry because things aren't going your way. You don't have to yell and scream at God for Him to listen. As in the lyrics of a 1972 rock song, "Take it easy. Take it easy. Don't let the sounds of your own wheels drive you crazy. Lighten up while you still can. Just find a place to make a stand and take it easy." Stand with and talk to the Lord. The Lord is near. We look forward to His coming. Keep watch, for we know not the day or the hour, but knowing that we cannot lose our hope and joy. The Lord will take vengeance on our enemies and will reward those who are His. We must wait on the Lord. As believers, we will be in a better place of peacefulness and calmness. In the meantime, in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. If you are worried or anxious about anything, but in everything, pray. 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 God is waiting to hear from you. As a believer or being right with God, you must make the first move. By offering your prayer and petition, what is prayer? It's a conversation with God. And in your conversation, you make a supplication, a passionate outpouring of the heart, in contrast to just lip service. As an example of this is when Jesus cried out to the Father in Gethsemane, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Don't you think that's a passionate plea? God needs to know your requests. Certainly He knows your heart, but He must hear it from you. Going on, He will take your prayer request, and in His time He will answer. We must wait on the Lord. But thank the Lord for listening, for being there for you. As a believer, you have cast your cares upon the Lord. You have rid yourself of your cares and placed them with God. Let Him work you through it. I put a sign on our dry sink in the kitchen, which reads, "Focus your thoughts on what you can control and leave the rest to God." Then there's the old preacher's greeting to each new day. "Lord, help me to remember that nothing is going to happen to me today that you and I together can't handle." Looking at verse 7, "And the peace of God which transcends all understanding." The peace of God which transcends, or that which will rise above or will triumph over all we could possibly understand or comprehend, will keep us grounded and focused on Christ Jesus. Turning your anxieties over to God will not only allow us to experience the peace of God, but it will allow us also to experience God Himself, the God of peace. We want to stay above our troubles, not succumb to them. In verse 8, "Finally, brothers, what is true, noble, right, all those in Christ, we must always meditate on the characteristics of Jesus Christ. whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. The way Christians conduct themselves in business or in recreation and with their families should be consistent with these standards. If believers want to have a victory over anxiety, we must not only pray correctly, but we must think rightly as well. Reading from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 in the King James, "Thou wilt keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." If we trust in God, we must keep our minds steadfast and focused on God, trusting that God will keep us in peace. For what we trust God for will last as long as we last. Trust without ceasing. Verse 9, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, put into practice by being faithful in your daily lives to the teachings of the Scriptures. By doing this, one will receive the reward of God's peace." I would like to share with you a poetic verse by F.W. Faber, who, by the way, wrote the hymn Faith of Our Fathers in 1849. He writes, "For right is right, since God is God, and right the day must win. To doubt would be disloyalty, to falter would be sin. God will always be God. He does not change. He is never wrong, and he's not wishy-washy. He remains steadfast. Those who are right with him will come out on top. If you question God's purpose or decisions, this will show you have lost your trust or faith in God. To fall away would put you back to where you were when you asked God for help, and will put you in a trap of sin. Many pray to God to help them with their concerns, worries, or troubles, hoping God will answer. But if we don't show God obedience to him and keep ourselves spotless in his eyes, then how can we expect God to answer us? He wants us to first be his before he will be ours. In Psalm 34, verse 17, it reads, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles." Now, those that belong to God knows to whom to ask for help. Because they are his, the Lord will listen, and the Lord will answer. But we must wait on the Lord. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, "Who of you by worrying can add a single day to his life? Why worry about tomorrow? Nobody is guaranteed tomorrow." In Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, "Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." If we are not true followers of Christ, God does not know you. Unless you are of God, God will not recognize you. What? Me worry? No. I would like to thank Pastor Dave for helping me and his encouragement in preparing this message. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing me to bring this message this morning and for helping me prepare and deliver it. We thank you for inviting us to cast our cares upon you and that you will never leave or forsake us. Be with us all as we go forward one day at a time, knowing that your word is there for us to use and obey. This, Father, we ask in your Son's name with thanksgiving. Amen.